Let me first thank you for the opportunity to be here with you and to be part of the service today. I'm really pleased. It's like coming home for me, coming to St. John's. So it's great to be here. Let's join together in prayer. God of the grain that falls to earth, God of the fruit that grain will bear, you have created us to create life, even as we lose it. You have given us a gift of love that grows the more we share it. May we, as single grains of life, not hold our love within, but cast it wide and lose ourselves so a new life can begin. Amen. So, here on stewardship, one of your stewardship Sundays, I said to Alistair, I think it's ethnic profiling, asking a Scotsman to come and preach on Stewardship Sunday. So it got me to think about a story that I knew about a young couple in Scotland. One grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and the other grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. And they got together and they decided they were going to get married, and they didn't know what church to get married in. You know, they hadn't been at church for a long, long time, and now they were in their mid-20s. So Billy says, Agnes, you know, I've heard about this Anglican church. They call it the Middle Way. Let's go to this Anglican church and see if we like it. And Agnes says, that'll be great. We'll go experience it and see what it feels like, and then we'll go and talk to the minister and see what he can do for us in our wedding. So they're sitting at the back of the church, as people do when they come in for the first time, kind of hiding at the back of the church. And Agnes picks up a purple book, the Book of Common Prayer, and she thinks, I'll have a wee read at that and see what it says. So she's reading, and she nudges Billy and says, Billy, I don't think this church is a church for us. And Billy says, why not, Agnes? And she says, first Sunday of Advent, collect. Second Sunday of Advent, collect. Third Sunday of Advent, collect. There's a lot of collecting in this church. Anyway, leave that behind, and let's spend some time in this gospel that we have this morning. And I want to do something. I hope it doesn't mess up your preaching schedule, because I'm going to draw in the gospel from next week, because I think it's important to consider this gospel and the gospel from next week together. Because the person who, the author of the book of Mark, kind of contrasts two things here. Because for Mark and the writer of Mark's gospel, the disciples are a joke. They never get it. They're the ones who are traveling with Jesus and following Jesus, and they just miss it all the time. Whereas the people who get it in Mark's gospel are the marginalized, those on the edge, those who are needing healing physically, mentally, emotionally. They are the ones who really get it in Mark's gospel, and they show up the disciples time and time again. So the first part of this gospel that we heard today is about James and John. And they come to Jesus and said to Jesus, we want you to do something for us. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you that you're unable to do for yourself? What do you want me to do for you that you're unable to do for yourself? And they say, we want good seats at the end of the thing. We want to be there right at the end on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. Jesus says, I can't do that for you. I can't do that for you. Unless you're willing to be baptized with the baptism I'm being baptized with. And they say, sure, we're there. But they really don't understand what that means. They don't understand what that means. And so we're left with these two disciples of Jesus who are coming to this situation with selfishness. It's all about them. It's about how they're going to continue on in spite of what Jesus has taught them about what he's going to do and what he's about. So next week, if we pull that in, sorry, Pam. Pam's preaching next week. If we pull that in, and the story of Jesus continues, on the road to Jericho, and he passes by a blind man by the side of the road whose name is Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus says, "Lord, Lord, Lord, heal me." And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you that you're unable to do for yourself? What do you want me to do for you that you're unable to do for yourself?" And Bartimaeus responds in a unique way. He doesn't ask for places of honor. He doesn't ask for anything more than to be healed. Now, Bartimaeus could have said, "Give me a bit more sight, Lord. A little bit more sight, and I would be able to get around easier." He could have said, "Make me a better beggar." But he didn't. What he said was, "Give me sight." And from that moment on, he was unemployed. He lost his income, he lost his job, he lost everything from that moment on. But he was willing to risk that in following Jesus. And so he stepped out and he followed Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if the church has a purpose. Sometimes I think the church has no purpose at all. And then, friends, I think about you, because I know your history. I think about where you've been and the stands that you have took and the risks that you as a congregation have been a part of. I remember a previous one of your rectors standing on the steps of the legislature, speaking truth to power. And he could not do that without you, without your support, without your encouragement, without you knowing what he was about. I know your history of standing by the queer community and defending them and speaking on their behalf in the civic courts and in the courts of the church. That is your history. That's who you are. And I think and I believe in those days when I think the church has a purpose, when I go to your website and I read what's important to you, and I read about social activism, and I read about the queer community and the continual support, and I read about your work for the marginalized and the poor, and I hear about your music, and I hear about the family units and families, how you describe family, and I hear about your work in education and in teaching. And I think, yeah, I think there's some part of the church that still has a purpose. There's a part of the church that still has a meaning. See, I don't think you're about self-preservation in any shape or form. And I think that's what James and John were about. They were about self-preservation. They knew that things were going to go upside down, that Jesus had told them he was going to be arrested and after 3 days killed, but they were only interested in himself. They were interested in self-preservation. But Bartimaeus wasn't. Bartimaeus is not interested in self-preservation. He's willing to follow Jesus, to give up all for Jesus, his job, his livelihood, who he was, and to take that risk and follow Jesus into the world. See, the church that is focused on self-preservation is a dead church. It might look alive, it might be zombie-like, but it's a dead church. But the church that dies to itself and engages the poor and the marginalized, the church that dies to itself and engages those in need within our community, within the society, is very much alive. And I'm asked all the time to give money or to hand over money, to hand over my time, and whatever talents I have left, to hand those over. And some people demand that from me, like the federal government, right? They demand that. But other people ask me to do that out of love, out of joining them in something important. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that not for a church that's only interested in self-preservation. Not for a church that's interested in self-preservation. But in a church that's willing to die to itself, that is willing to be like a grain of wheat that is falling to the ground and to burst open and discover new fruit and to live in a new way within the world in which you live. And I believe that's you. I believe that you as a community are willing to do that and are able to do that, to reach out and take that risk and to die to self. I had the honor and privilege of spending time with Herbie O'Driscoll up until his death. I would take him communion and we would sit and talk about different things. And Herbie was a great person, great, full of hope for the church. Not a lot of hope for some of the things we see in the church. The things that he would think about needed to die in the church, needed to be reshaped, reformed, renewed in the church. But a hope for the future of the church. And I have that same hope. And Herbie said to me one time we were meeting there, he says, Logan, I believe that somewhere in the dome cities of the solar system, I believe that somewhere in the dome cities of the solar system, people will gather. And there will be bread, and there'll be wine, and there'll be water, and there'll be story. And I think you understand that story, and you understand that. And you understand that story to be a story of justice, the story of peace, the story of equity, the story of inclusion, a story that is willing to walk on the streets of the city and offer change and opportunity. And I encourage you to continue to do that. I encourage you to continue to do what you're doing, because when I see your website and I remember your history, I have hope, I have faith, that there is that part of the church that I am willing to invest my time and my talents and my money, even my money as a Scotsman, my money in, and that's you, and that's you. Because I know that investment will bear fruit, even though what we see here dies, even though that happens, I know it will bear fruit. And you will go out and you will speak on the streets of the city. And you will have a fruit that will bear so much good in people's lives, that you will introduce people to Jesus Christ and change society in his name. You will introduce people to Jesus Christ and change society in his name. So don't worry about dying. Don't worry about falling to the ground. Don't worry about that, because you will bear fruit that will last, and fruit that will change and form you in new and different ways and change the city. And I'm willing, friends, I'm asking you to invest in that. I'm willing to invest in that, because if you die, you will die on these streets alongside the poor who need you, the marginalized, those who are excluded. That's how you will die. And for them, you will give much. So, there's a good message for you. And I hope that the dismissal today is not, go forth, therefore, and die. but the sense that there will be fruit that will come out from you. Listen to this. This is from God of the Fallen Grain from Corrymeela Community. God of the grain that falls to earth, God of the fruit that grain will bear, you have created us to create life, even as we lose it. You have given us a gift of love that grows the more we share it. May we, a single grains of life, not hold our love within, but cast it wide and lose ourselves, so a new life can begin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.